We have Captain Copping, of which the town Copping is named after. He was a very well-known whaling captain in Tasmania throughout the 19th century, made a lot of money from it, became very, very well-known. In fact, one of these walking sticks, the story goes that one of these was owned by him and he actually clubbed one of his servants to death with it. We're not sure why, in a fit of rage perhaps, but if you actually feel one of these walking sticks, they're very heavy. And the head, the head of these things is quite a heady thing. So if you got knocked around the skull with it, you're going to know about it.
Goodness, it's lucky you've got them locked away.
Yes. So we certainly know some of the people that owned them. In terms of the creators, unfortunately, no. We don't have a lot of information on those.
And what period would most of these be from?
Well, certainly we know. I mean, Scrimshaw dates from the American times when they were whaling there in the early 18th century. But certainly in Tasmania, I mean, the first whales were being taken from literally the first ship that came, European ship that brought settlers down here in 1803. The British government chartered a whale ship under the captain of a guy called Bunker. And on their way down from Port Jackson to Hobart Town in 1803, he stops off Maria Island and actually kills three whales. Under his contract, he was allowed to capture whales on the trip. And they had to wait while they actually cut those whales up and rendered them down, as they say, to get the oil out of that. So really from 1804 right up until, the glory days in the 1830s and 1850s, when a substantial number of whales were being caught, up until, the 1860s, when the population drops significantly. And then you find the last whaling ship is going out of Hobart in the last Tasmanian whaling ship is in the 1890s. But by then the numbers had dwindled so much that there was really very poor return coming from whaling operations. Mm. So I suppose the glory days in the 1830s, 1850s, when you find a substantial amount of Scrimshaw being produced.
And intrinsically Tasmanian as well.
Yes, you can see here there's what's called a panhandle, which is actually a flat piece of whalebone. And in this particular one, you've got a scene of a sperm whale or a couple of sperm whales being caught by whale boats off a whale ship called the Aladdin. And the Aladdin was quite a famous whale ship out of Tasmania. There's a wonderful painting at the Tasmania Museum and Art Gallery showing a scene of a sperm whale meeting its doom with the Aladdin there. There's another pan bone here too where you've got two whale ships just near Lord Howe Island. You can see Ball's Pyramid, a very recognisable feature of Lord Howe in the background. And there's four or five whale boats going after a number of sperm whales. All parts of the whale were being used in interesting ways. I mean, you can see we've got on display a part of the jawbone from a sperm whale, and you can actually see the sockets of where the teeth were located.
Goodness, yes.
And so you've got about 20, 25 teeth on each side of the jaw, but the long jawbone, you can see where they would have taken the material to make the walking stick. Mm. That's a long, nice long section of the bone.
And there's even a chest here with presumably inserts.
Oh, yes. Now, this is really the piece de resistance of the collection. This is an amazing piece. It's probably unique in the world in terms of its craftsmanship, its decoration, and what it represents. This was a whaler's trunk dating from 1830 to 1860. We're not quite sure of the age. It has Tasmanian provenance. It's made with Australian red cedar, which was pit sawn. Now, pit sawn means probably pre-1850 because after 1850 you actually have the steam sawmills coming into operation where they're operated with engines. Pit sawn is hand done. But this whaler's trunk, it measures maybe, 3 feet long by about 2 feet wide by about 2 feet high. You can see in the top there's a chessboard laid into it. There's a crib board as well. And on the front...
Oh, there is two.
Yes. And each piece, I mean, if you look at the detail here, not only have they cut out these diamond-shaped pieces of whalebone, but they've actually had to cut out the same shape in the timber so that it fits perfectly. It is just the most amazing thing. I have no idea how long it would have taken to create this. I mean, to make it even more substantial and impressive, on the front of the trunk you have a compass rose, which is very finely detailed. You also have images of sextants, ship's wheels, and you can see some sailors. That sailor represents in the dress of an American sailor, which is interesting. This one represents an Hawaiian sailor.
Oh, yes.
As well, because Hawaiian natives were involved in the whale trade as well. So it is just a magnificent piece.
John, I just want to grab a packet of playing cards and have a game of crib. I also want to rub those holes, but I don't think I'll get away with that.
No. It's one also interesting too here. You can see here this very bright piece. That's actually ivory. And this piece here, and they represent, that's the full moon. And this other side here, you can see it's darker, and there's the crest of a half moon. So again, it's all this navigation motifs which are coming through, which were very important.
There are three functions essentially, I guess, decorative, functional, and also practical in terms of being able to play games on it.
Yeah, it's quite amazing how they've been able to achieve all those functions in one piece of furniture. But it is beautiful, it is unique, and it's great to have that on show at the moment.